Just a little more time is all we're asking for. Just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little uncertainty can bring it down. Nobody wants to show you how so if you're welcome on your own. You can never surrender. And if your God won't lead you home, you can never surrender. And when the night is cold and dark.
Good evening. I apologize for not getting on sooner. I'm so angry. I'm sorry. This is Bailey Smith, your host. Welcome to the Never Give Up Show. We are on our 37th show. And tonight's a little off. I was on the phone dealing with the person that this show is about. I'm talking to a lieutenant. Trying to hang up with him. Anyway, that's why I did not log on sooner. I apologize to the person holding. Tonight's show is a little off because one of our guests unfortunately had a car accident earlier today, and I hope she'll be calling in later. But I will be talking about that I did put out there. Please call in and join the show. Professionals, protective parents, we want to hear from you. I'd love to get your opinions on some of the stuff I put out there about the show tonight. Watching, as a witness, watching so much of this take place infuriates me. 6 years ago, I dealt with other kinds of things, but I dealt with the police, and I always say it all starts with the police, because when you're dealing with children and children's safety and domestic violence, that's who you call first, and it starts with how they write reports, and then we go into the court system. So it's very frustrating, and I'd love to hear from my listeners out there, how you would handle situations, or if you've been through this, how you handled it, because I could sit here and vent for 2 hours. And I don't want to do that. I've done that already. Our phone number is 516-531-9643, 516-531-9643. Again, I'm your host, Bailey Smith. I'm sorry, we got off to a little crazy start, and I am a little bit freaking out, furious right now. Anyway, tonight's guest was supposed to be Anna. That was not her real name. Anna is a protective parent who's in the process of a high-conflict divorce, fighting to keep her child safe. We are both part of a group of parents trying to help navigate a system that seems to have no end in sight. It's a constant battle that feels like it will never end. Lisa is a mom who I was a witness to, and I was just talking to a lieutenant regarding her situation, who got shared custody with her ex-husband. She's also a disabled veteran that is forced to pay child support for a child that is kept from her. Every week on her days, she goes to pick up her daughter. I went with her 2 weeks ago and witnessed a play, an act, a charade. Unfortunately, this involved an 11-year-old little girl. And it was so disturbing. I recorded all of it. It was so disturbing and unbelievable. I can't even begin to tell you. Anyway, let's get back to this. Every week on her days, she goes to pick up her daughter. Like I said, I was a witness to to this personally, and I'm speaking as a witness. I am not speaking for her. It has become a very ugly, evil game that is played by her ex, because I've also watched on video. I've actually watched live, not being there, but live on FaceTime, how things played out. So I've seen this with my own eyes twice in the last 2 weeks. Unfortunately, it is so heartbreaking to watch her leave empty-handed. In a DCF report from earlier this year, that no one seems to think they are responsible for filing with the courts, her daughter says she feels responsible to make her father happy and admits at times it's easier not to go with her mom rather than upset her dad and deal with his disapproval. I would love your opinion on that, but what this little girl said, because to me, it sounds like there's some sort of abuse or some sort of control, which is abuse, over this child, which is why she made that statement. This lieutenant I just spoke to told me he doesn't believe that's abuse, but okay, I may be wrong. Port has been sitting somewhere and has never been reported almost a year now. To me, that is extremely scary. When you go to DCF, they say call the police. The police claim it's not our jurisdiction. We deal with criminals, a criminal situation. Go to court. Who says, sorry, it's not an emergency. You'll have to wait for your court date. So really, what are we waiting for here? Another statistic? We don't want any more laws in the name of children or protective parents. We want laws to protect this from happening. Only we, us protective parents, can band together and fight this pandemic. Please help and get on board. I had posted all over the place a petition. Now, last I looked, we had not gotten to our 200. This was posted 5 days ago. I don't understand how hard it is to sign a friggin' petition to help this mom. All we want is as many signatures as possible so that we can share it or help her with those petitions to show that the public, the outside world, is on board with what's going on with family court, what's going on with DCF, that we need change, because that's what this is all about. That's what my shows are about. Never giving up, abuse and beyond, child, protecting our children. Anyway, I'm going to bring on whoever has called in to help me out here. Hello?
Hi, Bailey.
Hi, who's calling in?
Hi, this is Jessica. How's it going?
Thank you, Jessica, for calling. You heard my little rant there. Thank you. And I'm sorry it took me time to get on. Ugh.
That's okay.
That made me so angry. That made me so angry just now.
It's so emotionally draining when you've been through it, especially, and then you're kind of going through it in the shadows and watching it unfold over again and over again, and nobody seems to care or do anything. And you would think in this day and age that, things would be different. We have all sorts of movements to make change and, with regards to Black Lives Matter and the Me Too movement, and we're making such positive strides in so many different areas. And then we have the most vulnerable, which is our children. And it seems like you would think that, when it comes to sexual abuse in adults or, Black Lives Matter, and they're all amazing, they're obviously both so important in their own ways. But then you look at something like children and saving children, like I said before, the most vulnerable, but there's just so many barricades and there's so much political misogyny and so many things that we discover as we unfold and realize, that the system on every different level is just so broken. And that's why it's so painful, because you just want to scream. And that's what you're going through right now. You're emotional. You're frustrated.
It's so, it's, how do you tell me that that what the child said was not is no indication of anything? I don't get it.
Exactly. Well, the problem is, you know, I fortunately had my fair share of DCF conversations over the last 4 years. And unless that child is like on fire or, you know, bleeding from the head, and, you know, even then, God knows, you know, if they're going to do anything, but they don't project. They don't take children from parents. I'm pretty sure that, you know, in other situations, they're more likely to take children, you know, in underprivileged households, it seems like, you know, where they feel like, you know, maybe they're not taken care of nutritionally, like they're, you know, deprived of food, that sort of thing.
Well,
but when it comes to abuse, it's so they don't want to step in.
Well,
they, unless there's actual real.
Well,
go ahead.
If you've seen pictures of this child, she's malnourished.
Yeah. Oh, she's malnourished. You 100% can tell she's not eating.
Okay. So there's abuse going on. And when I just said to the lieutenant,
they want proof. They want 3 years. Of proof.
I just said to him, what are you waiting for? A death?
That's
when
exactly
you'll
right.
do something?
Yeah.
He did not like that. He said, "Are you accusing me?" I said, "Well, no. This is what I said to the cop that came and took a false report, because I was there and I witnessed everything." So a false, and by the way, when you give a statement, right? Because I've given many, many statements, and you give a false statement, demeanor. You know that?
Have you asked to see his body cam? Oh yeah, I mean nobody ever does anything on false statements.
So I just told him. Why is there only one side to this report? I said, because I'm speaking to you, but I've spoken to three other sergeants, and the sergeant of the cop that took the report originally has not returned my call or Lisa's call or to reach out to Lisa. So he just told me he's going to have the lieutenant from that sergeant reach out. I said, okay, fine, but I have to go. I have to start my show. I'm sorry. But he didn't like that I kind of initiated. I said, why don't you look up Grayson's Law? Grayson Kessler. I said, because none of you people up here know what's going on down there. And I think everybody should know, all you cops need to know what's going on in this state. All these things that are happening.
They have no idea. They're county by county, and they're in their own.
Nothing.
Oh, my God. Do you know my restraining? I have a restraining order definitely against my ex. And if I go into another county, they can't even pull it up. They are so ridiculous.
No.
They're not connected. I go, and I live in between counties, so it cracks me up. I'm like, okay, so.
It's supposed to be.
Because you don't see it. Yeah, it's supposed to be it's supposed to be the whole state of Florida.
Well, I have.
But
too.
I was in Broward County. Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
It is, but their systems, I don't know if their systems are just old and stone age and just they don't work properly. But if I don't have, that's why it's so important when you have an injunction of protection to carry it with you, the physical copy, because these cops just don't, they don't have the capabilities to actually look up something that went on another county. And I think that kind of happens too, like with what happened with Grace and Kessler. It's like, okay, well, that's like a Broward thing. It's like, I actually was talking to some of the cops in Boca about it. They had no idea. They're like, oh, we might have heard about it. They had no idea.
Broward,
you think they'd be up floor, you think they'd all get emails, right? And or like a training on like we need to, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
well,
nothing
happened. So basically, let's get back to the restraining order, and then I'm going to bring on our other caller. Probably somebody from our crew. I don't recognize the number. But basically, I have a restraining order because I lived. It was PBSO that I dealt with for years. It was because I didn't live in Boca and I didn't live in, I lived in the middle.
Unincorporated.
So I was PBSO. So I got a Palm Beach County, or from Delray Court, Palm Beach County, I got a restraining order, and it was permanent, made permanent, okay? Well, at least it still is. It was violated. My ex left the state on probation, so there's a warrant, but, you know, criminals, abusers get more rights than we do, so it doesn't matter. But he violated it while I'm living in Broward. They were able to find it, by the way. So Broward County, I would say, their system, they won't take anything else from my prior situation or what happened prior, but they'll use the warrant. So, So he's violated a restraining order, and I'm dealing with criminal court. But he has so many rights that I'm going back to court for the fourth time. And it's not like he's going to get extradited. He'll just have another warrant. So it's like, it's a joke.
Exactly.
Why should they violate it? Mm-hmm. Why not violate it? Why not stalk? Why not do what I want? Because who the hell cares? And he says it in his text. That's what his text is about. I don't give a F. I don't give a crap, you know. Let them come try to find me. I don't give a crap about a piece of paper. He's telling the law, I don't give a crap about you, and you're giving him right. And that's
right.
What's happening here. It's like,
and
the cops are like, oh, we know this case, blah, 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 blah. Okay, and you know this case, and... What?
Right,
what are you doing?
There's when you say cop is tough, because I've had some amazing cops who looked at me in the eye and said,
I've never had this gets worse.
I've had, in Palm Beach County, I was lucky. I had some really good ones. Broward County, a mix. Not so much. I had my last cop that came to my house after he threatened to kill me and numerous other threats. They came to my house and told me that they weren't going to make a report that he broke the injunction and that I reported it too late and that I should have cameras around my house and I should be doing more things to protect myself. I'm like, well, my father lives right down the road and, you know, safe for the most part, but I can't, you know.
Well, I'm
you
taking
can't,
gun lessons.
You guys are for, right? That's what you guys are for. If I call you, you make
right.
a report that way.
I'm taking
and
gun
they
lessons.
Said, sorry. They told me that I was, and then they actually kept telling me that I was being, I forgot the word, but like they told me I was being like too hysterical, basically, like which we see a lot, right? And because you're not being heard, you're not being even listening to you. And then I said, I looked him blank in the eye and I said, I can see that you guys aren't going to help me and you either don't believe me or you don't care to move forward with this. I have nothing more to say. And they didn't, they still made me stand there for another 10 minutes and like, drill me about what I need to be doing to protect my, I'm like, I don't need to listen to this. Like you know, and they enjoyed that. Like that's another thing with the misogyny and the thinking that I bring it on myself, you know, and that's unfortunately what a lot of cops, they're not properly trained. That's what
trained. None of them are trained. That's the problem. They have no training whatsoever in domestic violence. They have no training whatsoever mental health, or if they do have some sort of training, we're another number. And that's what's happening to our kids.
Oh, yeah.
I said it to the, in Broward County, they're called, instead of ADA, they're called the ASA. And I said to her, you're representing me here. Did you even read my restraining order? She said, no. I said, how are you representing me?
No, they don't look at anything. Nothing.
I said to her,
My new judge didn't
know
I had
another number.
Yeah, they don't.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go on. Talk.
I said my last hearing I had to try to suspend timeshare from my ex after lack of taking care of my kids, leaving them in the car alone for an hour without AC, not feeding them till 2 in the afternoon. I mean, the list goes on and on. I filed for an emergency motion to suspend timeshare, and I even had video footage of him beating up his girlfriend The judge wouldn't have listened to it, said that my children weren't there. Oh, yeah. My children weren't there, so it didn't matter, and he doesn't believe what
See,
the security guard was saying.
If you had an officer that wrote up a proper report and it made its way to the DA's office, you might have gotten something.
But I didn't. You're right.
Exactly.
But you know what? They never called
exactly.
the cops because they begged not to, and they just left. So the security guard came on to testify, and my judge didn't care, though. You would think he'd want to see the video. He goes, no, I don't care. Your kids weren't there. I go, but do you know what domestic abuse is? It's anybody in that household. The girlfriend lives with him. This is going on with my children there. He basically told me, you know, just to shove it. And this new judge is the only judge I've had out of every single judge that basically just, you could tell he didn't believe me. He just thought I was not letting my ex see the kids, wanted to make excuses. And you know what's unfortunate is they don't look at the history. This judge didn't even know I had a restraining order till halfway in the hearing. They don't look at all the other cases. They look at every case by case, and they don't look at the whole. And that's what needs to be changed too. You know, you can't have a quick hearing on something so like a child's life.
First of all,
we have to have
criminal court and with domestic abuse, and we have to have family court in family court, and then whatever's determined in criminal court has to be brought over to family court and taken into consideration. Let me see who else is calling in. I don't recognize the number. Hey, hello. Welcome to the corruption. Hello. Hello, hello. Are you just listening
in? Listen in, someone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if it's a listen-in, please text me or Jessica and just tell us that you're listening in.
I think I know who it is. I think I know. I don't know if she wants to say her name, but I think because I gave someone the information to call in, but I don't know if she called in or used the link. So,
Well, please text Jessica if you have her number, or text me if you want to say anything to us, questions, give your opinion. Because that's what the show is about. In the end, for now, really, like I'm trying to bring more and more awareness to the public. Because forget our agencies and authorities. Okay, the only way it's going to change is if we, the voters, the public, vote for the change and push for the change and advocate for the change. So, I mean, you know, watching this whole scenario play out, it's a charade. You know, she was showing me how this couple that lives next door, and I saw them the last time, they take their little stroll so they could be witnesses as to what's going on. It's like literally a play. But who is involved? A little girl, and something is not going on. She is kept from the public. She is isolated. She's not in school. Okay? She's obviously...
Which is the most concerning, that she's not in school. You have no other eyes on her but her dad. That to me is the most...
Exactly. The time before she went, he left, and the daughter was in the house and alone at 11 years old when she should be getting in her mom's car. And she texted him, hey, where are you going? You just left our daughter alone in the home? No response, nothing. So it's like there's so many – it's amazing how this lieutenant got angry at me when I said to him, what are you waiting for, another statistic?
They don't
another
like all
death?
That, by the way.
I'm saying facts.
Saying the truth, but they don't want to hear the truth.
They don't want to hear it.
And then you look like you're confrontational because you're passionate and because you know your facts. Yeah.
I said I dealt with so many cops, and I could tell you right now, the one that took that report originally and wrote a half one-sided report that was false, okay, was a rookie. That I could tell you. Because I could tell.
Right. Wait, Bailey, what happened with the body cam footage? Because that's something that,
so that
needs to be.
So I told
stuck.
Him, I told him, why didn't you pull, she ordered, she requested it. I said,
okay.
I said, but that's after the fact. I have footage from when we got there. Unfortunately, the court watchers that came have, they were standing behind their car, behind the driveway, like after the driveway, so in the street, okay, they were trying to photograph her coming out and running back in. They missed that, but they photographed just the beginning part, and then they left to go demonstrate and to rally. And the report said, so when she ran back in, that's so she texted father and said, I'm coming to the door to knock on the door. Please send my daughter out. So she said, I'm coming onto your property, okay? And she knocked on the door, and she called her daughter's name. Now, I was sitting with her, and I have pictures of her sitting there texting him, okay, distraught, broken, okay? And I actually bought her a little plant because she told me she likes plants, and I held it up to the camera, and I took a video that this camera's there. But nobody did anything against the law. She texted him, I'm coming onto the property. I'm coming to knock on the door. And we sat there for a little while, distraught, until her attorney said, you need to leave. He called his attorney, and she's talking to her attorney, and he's like, you trespassed. She goes, no, I told him I'm coming to knock on the door to get my daughter because she didn't come to the car like she's supposed to. And so basically, you know.
Wait,
how
is going to the door trespassing? I don't understand.
Well, that was his report. And then in the report, and the lieutenant was reading it to me because I had no patience to read it. He's like, well, Dad said, so we left, and I said to her, Lisa, you left because the attorney told you to leave. Okay, fine. But you look guilty if you leave. So you need to tell your attorney you have to go back and tell your side of the story. She goes, oh, right. That makes sense. So she said, told her attorney, I'm going back. I'm going to stay off the property, but I'm going to share my side of the story. So we went back, and the cops were there. Now, the daughter, now tell me this, okay, and there's a whole video that I showed of the daughter talking to the cop with the dad hovering, okay? Now, that's not traumatizing for a little girl to have to.
Of course.
It's traumatizing.
Well, they don't care about traumatizing.
She told the cop she didn't know who I was, so she was scared to go.
What?
That was the excuse. This is what the cop said. This is what he wrote in the report. Mom was screaming and yelling for daughter to come. No, this is what the daughter said. She ran back. She went back inside. Dad told the cop she was screaming and yelling, which was not true. You know her. She doesn't have a loud voice. She's soft.
Right.
Very soft. Okay? And, we were just being, you know, normal. Like, why would she jeopardize?
Now, was the
anything?
Father trying to help tell the girl, her daughter,
no,
to come and to go to her mom?
No.
See, that's a problem.
Not even
so
this time.
I was told
not
before
even
that I have to help facilitate, and that's a problem.
But
because
that, but even, because,
yeah.
Go on, sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I interrupted you. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say because, you know, I mean, if you really care about your child, right, and even, I mean, I'm literally sending my kids to an abuser, right? I mean, and this is the opposite
right.
situation. So you have someone that's with an abuser that is, the healthy parent is trying to get their child to come and see them. So you have an opposite situation than what I have to deal with. But when I'm in the car with my kids and they're kicking and screaming and begging and saying, why can't you protect me, mommy? We know he's a bad, you know, daddy doesn't feed me, and daddy doesn't love me, and daddy doesn't, you know, protect me, and all those sorts of things are being told to me. And I'm literally, I have to do the opposite. I have to fake it and be like, listen, I promised you that, you know, I love you, but I have, you know, you have to go to your father's. You're going to have a great time. And here I am. And Allie Kessler has a video like this similarly that is very eerie to me because I do the same thing that she had to do to her son, and look where that got her. And I would sit there and bullshit my kids and say, just because I knew I had no choice, right? And I had to do this because it's a court order. And I would say to my kids, and I still do, and I say, you're going to have a great time with your dad. You know, he's going to take you here, and he always does fun things with you. And, you know, I try to bring the situation up, which kills me because I'm
right.
basically telling my children that I'm basically handing them over to an abusive person because I'm being forced, and I'm lying to them about the situation because I'm being told I have to facilitate a positive experience
So that's my issue. He has the can I say the police in that area? Can I say it? Even though since his video
I wouldn't say names. I mean, what do you want to say?
The name of the police department in that area.
Oh yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay, the Delray Police. In Palm Beach County, okay, they all know this case, and they are basically all in the palm of his hand, because mm-hmm. every single one of these officers just look at her like she's crazy, and she fell from the moon, and she just, and the kid doesn't want to go. They have no concept of what's really, really going on. And, you know, there's a court order, you know, there's a court agreement, and nobody's enforcing it. There's a DCF report.
I do have to say one thing, though. It's not the cops. The cops are doing what they're supposed to. The cops are not supposed to, if a child says they don't want to go, they can't force it. So it's actually a court that has to intervene. And say
okay, but the courts are not doing anything because they pushed off her date for 2 months, so it's going to be 4 months that she'll have spent time with this child. I mean, you're saying
if it was she needs to file an emergency pickup order. We talked about this.
Her attorney refused.
You know, my ex-husband filed 5 of them, and he's an abuser, and he kept getting denied. I go, why is anyone shutting this man down?
I told.
Yeah.
And she said that she did it. I sent her everything you gave me. She did it, and her attorney said, "We've gotten denied too many times. I'm not doing it. So it's an ego thing." And she can't do it on her own.
Oh, that's the problem with these cops. These cops, these lawyers, they want to know they're going to win. That's all they care about. They don't think about the child. Yeah.
So
what a jerk.
This is the problem.
Why can't she go over to the police station herself? I mean, the police station, the courthouse herself. I mean, look, this is a suggestion. I'm not in her shoes.
If she has an attorney, she can't file anything on her own. Except for a restraining order. Any motions have to be filed through her attorney. I know. This I know for a fact. So my issue is that the cops are saying, well, the little girl doesn't want to go. You have a DCF report, okay, that's just been sitting here all year. Who's supposed to file that? Who's supposed to enforce that? Like, who's supposed to, you know? And then you have...
Well, listen, the state of Florida has one of the worst programs with regards to DCF in the country. And they already suck in the best of the states. So we have the most broken of them all. We have the most corrupt of them all in Florida. I mean, I'm sure you saw the huge lawsuit with, you know, the head of the Florida Coalition of Domestic Violence. Florida gave them hundreds of millions of dollars, and she, the president, and then you have DCF in a similar situation where they're funded through the state. They get millions and millions of dollars, and guess what they do with the money? They had about 50% of their openings still open. They didn't even hire the amount of people they were supposed to. And I don't even know where the money went. It just not only on their best day when they're all the positions are fulfilled and everyone's doing their job the way they claim is the best, it's a shitty system. So imagine if you're working at half capacity, you just went through a pandemic, and you already aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, we're screwed. DCF, you might as well write them off. When they come over, because they have to,
I had them come over.
The first thing I tell them when they come in is, this is not a direct reflection on you, it's nothing against you, but I want to just say this as my disclaimer. If I seem uncooperative or I seem disinterested, but I know whatever report you're going to take right now is going to mean absolutely nothing, okay? I called the police because I have to because I'm scared for my children, and you guys do absolutely nothing. And you have to come here to make sure my kids are alive. I don't want you talking to my kids, but I have no choice. So make it as quick as possible. They're going to tell you abuse happened, and because they always do, and you guys are going to continue to do nothing. But I appreciate you doing what your job entails, but, you know, this is
a stupid visit. I want to go back 1 second to what happened with Lisa. DCF did this investigation. They gave her a counselor through another organization, so I guess somebody they work with, and this counselor is on the phone or videoing with her and watching all of this happen, okay? And there's nothing she can do because she's just a counselor that's supposed to be facilitating mom and daughter, but she has daughter. Mom doesn't get daughter, so that can happen. But she watches everything, and this time she had her on, and then dad's like, "Who's on the phone? Who's there?" He's like, "This is the counselor DCF appointed." He goes, "Well, do you know I have all the medical decision making?" I don't consider this a medical decision-making situation if it's appointed through DCF. Is it?
I don't know the answer to that.
So
he's
like, "I want to talk to you." She goes, "Well, I've left you numerous messages." Well, guess what? He left that home, that driveway, and then next thing you know, she calls. She calls Lisa and says, I can't do this anymore. He bullied her. He threatened her license.
Hmm.
Now, you add all these little things up, just the little few things up. Whoever's listening out there, you add these few little things up, okay, that we're talking about. Something's wrong here. Mom is doing her thing. Every twice a week, she goes, she sits there. Daughter comes out, plays the role, runs back in, okay? I mean, all those cops there, trust me, she wasn't scared of me, okay? I was I look like a kid, okay? I mean, you know, having three cop cars there and having to talk to a cop, that's traumatic for an 11-year-old. So you want to talk about trauma and being scared? She wasn't scared of me.
I get chicken up, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, to me, they're a joke. So I laugh at their face. You know, I throw laws, print out the laws, and stuff it in their face. And their mouths were hanging open.
Yeah, I know.
I knew which
they
days
all think
to
they're
call
lawyers
and which,
too. That's the problem.
No. I used to know which days to call and which days not to call because I knew which sergeants and officers were on duty. That's how sad it was. But before we have another caller, before we get them on, I want to tell you quickly my DCF story. So the first time I had horrific post separation
PTSD.
What is it?
Post traumatic stress.
No. That's where my horrors were. So it was post separation abuse. Okay. And of course, that was because it was a war zone because my kids witnessed this, and they were not babies. So, I got a text from him. This was way in the beginning. I'm calling to see all the things he was going to do to me. Okay. And in those texts was, I'm going to call DCF. And I'm going to tell them this, and this. I said, okay, whatever. Next thing I know, DCF calls me. I wasn't home. I said, I'll be home shortly. And she came over. But it was an anonymous phone call. Okay, that's the problem. They should not be... I guess they really should not be take anonymous calls. They should. It should have to be the phone number should have to be a legit number. Otherwise, they should not, because it ends up failing more if it's anonymous. Because in my case, because if you make a false DCF report, it's a crime. It's a crime punishable to jail. So. Why wouldn't somebody keep doing that?
Right.
You understand? When
by the
she
way,
walked in.
My, which, by the way, yeah. The DCF officer in my case actually told me that my ex-husband filed a false report. And I said, well, what are you going to do about it? You know it's a false report. He was just getting revenge on me because I called about him, my kids being left in the car. I was extremely worried about my children in Japan.
That's terrible.
Not being fed.
That,
oh, yeah. And so I filed a DCF report, and guess what? He went ahead a day later, which, come on, tell me this doesn't look so silly. I've never even been in a jail cell. No one's ever called the police on me. I've never had an issue with the law. And he calls DCF, calls the police, tells DCF that I go partying and do drugs, and I leave my kids, listen to this, and I leave
that.
My kids home. And I leave my kids home unattended
all
night.
And you were arrested.
No, I wasn't arrested because the DCF officer goes, wait, I was just here 2 days ago. And she goes, and she knew the whole history. She goes, wait a minute. And then she goes, wait, your parents live next door. I go, yeah. She goes, wouldn't they come over if you were going to go out? I'm like, yeah. Why would I leave my kids home alone? And she goes, isn't this the same kid that follows you around the house? Like, I can't, she was laughing, the lady, because my kid goes, she had to ask him, has your mom ever left you by yourself? Well, there was this one time, and I'm like, oh, God, what is he going to say? Yeah. My kid goes, there was this one time that she went out to throw the garbage, and I woke up in the middle, because that's how my son, he could tell if I'm not within, to put it out there, he ends up in, both my kids are in my bed most of the night. They are scared of their own shadows. They have their own PTSD and trauma.
Separation,
so I baby them a little more
anxiety.
Than I probably should. Yeah. And a lot of separation anxiety. I go downstairs to get a water. These kids run after me. So I went outside. I went to throw the garbage out. And he starts telling her the story. He goes, but I realized after running downstairs thinking that she was gone, she walks in and goes, what's wrong? I went to throw the garbage out. And the lady starts laughing, DCF officer, because he thought it was going to be a real story of like, and so how can I leave kids like this by themselves for even a minute? And my ex knows that, you know, you can't leave these kids in a house all night by themselves. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
They're too, like, they're little. So, and then my parents next door. So she got so mad. She goes, this is a waste of tax dollar money. And I go, yeah, it is.
So why,
I go, what are you going to do about
it? Something against nothing. Right?
Exactly right. I called her and tried following up so many times, but you know what they do? They don't want to deal with it, and she ends up passing it on
unfounded.
To someone else.
And they make it
unfounded.
She said
she's not going to – she goes, you know, isn't this a felony? She goes, it is. I go, you're going to call the DA's office? You're going to call someone? You're going to, you know, get him? But he has to learn his lesson. Nothing happened, but nothing was done. this guy, I mean, even in family court on my domestic violence hearing, he was making false allegations against me, and my judge saw right through him. And, you know, it's these guys that, and whatever, women, whoever the abuser are, they get, you say this is a felony, this is a crime. They don't, no one ever does
they
anything
don't care.
About it, though.
No.
But we do. Well, my
this
mom says that to me. She goes, Jessica, you sneeze the wrong way, you're going to be put away. You know, they'll look,
right.
They're looking at you with a microscope. But this guy can do whatever he wants, you know, and it's true. It's
it's
unfortunate.
So who is out there protecting our children? No one.
Nobody.
I want to bring Darlene on. She's one of my callers. Darlene, give me 1 second. I just don't want to lose my train of thought. So this is way back in the beginning. My son was like 11, and my youngest was 11, like 11 and a half. And so the DCF agent came in, and she was reading me the complaints or whatever. So I handed her my phone. And verbatim, what was called in was on my phone from him. And not only that, because she couldn't get to me right, like because I wasn't home, she had time in between to call him. And she played stupid or whatever it was. And she said, so I heard that there was a complaint that your wife, whatever, had your son walking around the neighborhood without a shirt on, blah, blah, blah. And he fell right into her trap. So she knew it was him.
Right.
I took a drug test. I did everything. I showed all my prescription meds, whatever.
That's another thing that DCF does not care about. I mean, there are two protective parents that are.
I showed everything just because I had I have nothing to hide. I'm an open book.
Right.
I don't care. And But it was an anonymous phone call, so there's nothing we could do.
That you'll get in trouble with. But why are two? So I'm part of an organization, as you know, called Florida Protective Parents, and two of the other board members are their children are being drugged, okay, by the abuser. Nobody is doing anything about it. Just like you said, Lisa, you know, I heard or maybe I read this somewhere that Lisa's kid is possibly being drugged. That's why she's so skinny. Why is no one doing drug tests on her? Why isn't that something that we talk about and that is initiated on when we see that there's a struggling situation with a parent trying to get them at, you know, you see a child that's skinny. Why is that not on DCF and Police's radar? You see a child that is suffering and is screaming they don't want to go with one parent. Why is that kid not getting a drug test?
And there's no incidents. There are no incidents reported where she did anything wrong. See happy pictures of them together. There's never been an issue when she's been in her care.
Every picture on there with every picture I've seen with Lisa, that's the only time I've seen a smile on her face. You know, so
yeah,
really
beautiful
just,
smile. And so, but there's never been an incident.
Yeah.
There's never been a report while she's been in her mom's care. There's never been a report. So why isn't anybody saying, hey, this is something fishy here? Okay, let me bring on Darlene.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Darlene. Welcome. Thanks for calling in. I'm sure you
Thank
have plenty
you.
To say. A better
usually
conversation.
Do. Well, my youngest son is now about 40 years old. And he is still traumatized about the court case.
Mm-hmm.
The judge had asked my son had you ever been hit by your daddy, right? And he forgot the time that when he went fishing that his daddy hit him in the head and even knocked his hat into the water and all that just because he got his stuck. You know, somebody fishing first time, you get stuck, you know, easily, mm-hmm. you know? And he popped him in the head for getting stuck. He forgot about that. And he still tells me, recently, he said, Mom, I really wanted to go with you. I didn't want to live with Daddy. Telling me that. And he lives further away, like about a couple hours from me. I rarely get to see him. So this is still eating him alive. Even though he's close to 40, it's still plaguing him today.
Yep. That's what they call ACE, adverse childhood experience. I'm learning all these new words to use and the ones not to use, because, you know, I'm dealing with it myself, unfortunately, which is why I'm fighting for change, as you know, Darlene. Doing this quite a few years, because I started all my advocating for mental health because my oldest had to go into a facility, had a mental breakdown in the middle of all of it. So that's when I started all my advocating, because I was dealing with the trauma. And this was a couple of years ago. And it doesn't end. I mean, my middle son now is finally having to deal with it because his anxiety got so bad, he was in the ER every day. And finally, he's dealing with it. And he told me on the phone the other night, Mom, the EMDR was so painful. I cried so much. I said, but that's good. I'm sorry that you have to deal with it at 22 years old when this all started when you were 17, but you never wanted to deal with this before. And now you're really dealing with it, and it's very painful. My kids should be living their lives. They should be out there happy, healthy, productive. And when I see little kids going through this, I see the end result if change doesn't happen, or God forbid, we have death. Like, we have a person that's part of Florida Protective Parents, and she's working on the help change laws, unfortunately, because her son was murdered. Why are we waiting for kids to be murdered to have laws? Laws are put in place to protect murders, right?
And one thing, I am in a new group. I'm not in that whatever bad group anymore, you know? So now I'm in one that's survivors of childhood sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's SCSA.org.
Okay.
You ought to try that, because these people are really getting into things and getting things done. And if y'all work together, you know, with them, maybe you'll be able to, you know, y'all work together and do that too, because they are going like that and helping.
I will definitely look into that group. Thank you.
Yes. We could use somebody strong like you and the women's group too.
Yeah. Well, look, every state has to form. Every state form their own committee and start fighting, which is going to be another topic we're going to bring up shortly. And I think I brought it up last week. Actually, not last week. I didn't have a live show, but the prior week on Jessica, is Tennessee one of the states that took on the proclamation?
I don't know offhand. I don't remember seeing Tennessee, to be honest.
We have been working on, I think you might have seen on my Facebook, you know, we've been going city to city, state to state to make November officially Family Court Awareness Month. It should really be Family Court Corruption Month, but unfortunately, that will never get passed. So, it did go up to legislation in a bill, right, Jessica?
I don't. What are you referring to on a state level?
The November to be family court.
For Florida, it did go up to the Senate. Yeah, for Florida, statewide. We're now proclaimed as the state of Florida for November Family Court Awareness Month.
It was passed?
I think so. I got a letter from Allie. Sorry, my kids are coming up now, so if you hear something noisy.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that they accepted the proclamation up in Tallahassee. I could be mistaken. I'm putting on mute. Sorry, I got the little one wired up.
If you have a copy of that, Jessica, I'd love to see it. Okay. So, basically, we've been trying to get other states to get on board with this, and so we can make this statewide, and then, God willing, nationwide. That, you know, we have Domestic Violence Awareness Month, Now we're going to have...
So how it works is, like, you can get your proclamations through the cities, counties, or the state. I'm pretty sure most of the cities in South Florida. Mostly Broward and Palm Beach, especially because of Florida, have been really receptive, especially with Grayson Kessler being an East Coaster. Another Grayson. I have a Grayson too, so sorry.
That's where a lot of my abuse happened in Alabama and Florida.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. So, there is a lot. I know we have a lot of movement in California, a lot of movement in the Northeast as well.
Pennsylvania took it on.
Coast state. I'm sorry?
Pennsylvania took it on.
Pennsylvania, yeah. Like, so some states took it on as a state, some just took on as counties. It's kind of like when you look at COVID and, like, with the mask mandates, you know,
right.
It's like they're the state.
Well,
the state wasn't,
hello,
you know,
a pandemic. It's domestic violence and child abuse, because it goes hand in hand if children are involved, is a pandemic worldwide. It's a pandemic going on years and decades. And I wish it would get as much attention as COVID got. You know, COVID came.
Okay, so I saw a map of what it looks like. I don't know if this is state by state or it's like cities, but it looks like California is really heavy. The Northeast is really heavy. Texas is actually pretty heavy.
Right.
Washington State, there's a lot. The middle of the country, you know, like Missouri. It looks like Arizona, Nevada have a lot. Georgia area. I don't know. I can get down into the weeds and look and see if it's city or county or
it's
statewide.
It's interesting It's interesting how Texas took it on, because Texas is one of
like
the most
east.
Corrupted states.
Yeah, well, it looks like the east cities in Texas, which is, I think, a little more, against what they kind of, yeah. Okay, so I have a little bit of a list I'm being sent right now. Dallas accepted, Austin, Houston. So I think more like the big cities, right? Charlotte, North Carolina, Jacksonville, El Segundo, California, Spokane, Washington, St. Petersburg, Florida, Baltimore County, Olympia, Washington. I know there's a ton more, but those are just a few. So it's really just the work of, you know, individuals that are survivors that are, you know, writing to their legislators or writing to their cities or counties and just asking, I don't know if it's more or less telling the story or, you know, just discussing a little bit about how we need some change. And, you know, it seems like most people that are working at it are getting acceptance, because how could you go against the fact that we're trying to save children, right? Like, it's a simple concept. Right.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't get into the weeds and if you make it simple, I don't think anyone, this should be a very bipartisan, you know, when we go down into talking about laws, this should be a bipartisan agreement that, you know, we need to be protecting our children from abuse, whether it's emotional, coercive, financial, physical, they all go hand in hand and it all kind of comes over and it ends up becoming that cycle that passes down from generation to generation. And we need to get rid of that. We need to get rid of that ugly concept that two parents are better than one. The kid just needs one healthy parent, especially if one is an abuser. So we need to get with it and understand that this is a huge problem.
It's six generations to end this cycle. So when I look at my children, grandparents. It's their fourth generation. And I have been living 6 years now, getting them help, doing everything I can, not living for myself. I mean, obviously, I self-care and I therapy and I do all the things I can. I advocate and I work and whatever. But I have lived for my kids because I tell them this all the time, if I can't live out the rest of my life and see them end up happy, healthy, happy, productive young men, I will die a very, very miserable person. And that's a horrible thing to say. But, you know, I put so much effort into this, into them, so much time and effort, and they know it. and they appreciate it, but it's a lot of work to break that cycle. You know, it's a lot of work, and see, the trauma, none of it ever really goes away. So
you only do little things at a time. Like, I see a lot of my ex and my younger son, and it scares me because I think
but
to myself, like, he picks it up real quick. Yeah, and so I work with him a lot. It's all about resources, and if you get the correct therapy, it's easy to just drain in this misery and say, my kids are screwed, I'm screwed. And if you really just look at the positive and say, look, the court system sucks, but I do have my kids this amount of time, and I'm going to make sure that they
get the best of those times,
the help that they need, and that they understand what's healthy. And there's so many resources and books, even if you can't afford therapy.
Were you the one that posted that three-part thing on ACE?
I don't think so. I talk about ACE a lot, but I don't think I posted.
No,
I think that was someone else on the email.
I'm going to sign up for it. I sent it to my therapist. She's like, that's amazing. Because it's very good for...
Oh, Saunders and ACE are two really amazing reads. And I talked about it at Allie's Visual, too. Like, it's just, if we understood really what this abuse did to our children and the harm it does and the harm that the system is doing on us as parents.
I could tell you right now what it does. And it's the problem is that our authorities don't care or don't get it or don't want to know or are not being enforced or held accountable to learn or not being held accountable because they're not protecting our children. And that has to end, because I think if more judges who are biased, and it's clear they're biased, and more police are by that straight up don't do what they're supposed to do, and DCF agents, they're held accountable, then I think we may have less of it. You know, I'm trying to, my point of this show was to try and figure out where we as protective parents and the public and just little people that have stories, and thankfully not death or anything that makes us have a huge voice. You know, what could be done? You know, what could be done? Like in Lisa's situation, I watched her last week hit every brick wall. Everybody failed her. And if I were in her shoes, I don't know how she does it. I believe it's her faith probably, but she just keeps going and fighting.
Yeah.
Now when it was happening to me, when I was dealing with post separation abuse, the abuse was happening to me. Yes, my kids were involved, so they were living in a war zone, and they were dealing with the abuse of my abuse was their abuse. So I was fighting for myself. I was in survival mode and at the same time trying to protect them, but she's alone. I most of the time, a lot of the time had my kids. You either have to have a humongous support system. Okay. And great family, or you can't get through it.
I agree.
You know,
that have any family and that don't have any resources at all, and maybe they 100% relied on income from their ex, and really don't know where to start. I can't even fathom how they survive, because it's true. Like in my situation, my kids are young. I'm always with them. It's hard. It's hard.
Right.
To fight for a cause and to fight a system that's
and
broken.
And take care of your children.
Right? You can't show them that they're... You have to be strong for them. You have to show them that everything is okay. And you have to, still make sure you're taking the time to give them the attention, and that you have to be straight-minded and And you have to, and that's why it's so important for all these women to take care of themselves and make sure that they take, even if it's like your last $10, if you need to get someone to come over and watch your kids, so you have a moment, right? Like, it's the self-care in these situations is so necessary. Like, I didn't really get it before. Now I'm like, whoa, I totally, like, just to have a half hour to think, not like, and not have a kid touching me or something, you know, like, mommy.
Or getting a shower, just like, jumping into a shower quickly, you know, and then having kids
with no
knocking
kids
on the door.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's so important.
From whatever I've been through, and yes, I'm dealing with it with older children right now, so it's hard, it's painful to see their pain. You know, I was basically on automatic, just like
I
called myself the Energizer Bunny, and I was going, but I took the time out to go to group therapy. And whoever's out there hears me say this all the time. I actually met Lisa there, and we reconnected at a fax meeting. She remembered me first, but they saved my life because I had no idea I was an abused woman for the first in the beginning. I mean, I was my ex went berserk.
No, you're in
celebrate.
Such a fog. You're in such
well,
a fog.
Well, I thought my marriage was normal, and you know, he had anger issues, okay, we tiptoed around him, whatever. And, you know, he would get loud when he didn't like things the kids were doing, whatever. But I thought I had a pretty good marriage until after the month after we celebrated 20 years of marriage, he beat the crap out of me. My middle son, who's dealing with this right now, broke down the door and saved my life. And I think it was a blessing that that happened to me, unfortunately, that he was... Unfortunate and fortunate that he was home, because I was able to say I will not take this man back. And when he wanted me to take him back, and I said no, that's when it all really started badly. And then when I was going to group therapy, I had the ability to go because he refused to leave the house once he got back in, and I had to sleep at my parents. So I was back and forth, but I was able to take a year and a half and go to group therapy twice a week. And I would sit there and listen to all these stories and be like, oh my God, that's me. Oh my God, that's me. And I was able to see myself in these women, and I was able to start healing. And I got a therapist who today is still my therapist from then, 6 years. I still speak to her at least twice a month, sometimes more. So she's seen me go from the lowest of the lowest to where I am now. And, you know, without those two things, I would have never made it. And I had amazing family support. So I was lucky. By the time I got him out of the picture and had my kids, who were a friggin' mess, I'll never remember us coming home. And my oldest, who's maybe 18, 19 at the time, lying on the floor, crying his eyes out. Just, like, I don't even think he knew why. My kids were in turmoil, in the worst, horrific place. And I was able to, because I already went to the hardest part and was able to get healthy. And, of course, I wasn't extremely healthy because I had the trauma bond and the codependence of my ex, and, you know, he was around. We had business together, and, you know, and the nurturer, you know, the constant trying to get him better and fix him and all that. You know, whatever. It's a very difficult, hard situation. But getting back to our topic at hand, you know, first I'm going to give out our phone number again. 516-531-9643, 516-531-9643. We have about 45, 46 minutes left. It would be really nice to have some more callers call in. Whoever's on hold, I can open up the phone again. If you want to talk, let me see if we can bring a talk. Would you like to talk? We're still muting. You can talk anonymously. No? Okay.
I don't know who it is.
Well, feel free to text Jessica or myself, send us a message to Facebook or whatever, if you want to say something or give us your opinion or, you know, I'd love to hear a perspective of, obviously Jessica and I have similar situations. You know, we're dealing with the same people trying to get laws changed.
Hey, I'd like to know how I could go about doing that. Can y'all get with me about that too?
I could send you the link. Jessica, is it that map? That picture with the map with the blue?
What exactly, I'm sorry, sweetheart, what exactly did you want a link for?
Because if I'm going to try to get that advice, at least in my cities or in the state or whatever.
You guys talk. My son is calling me from the facility. Can you help her out there? I'll be right
back.
Yeah, that's fine.
I will, I'm going to send the picture of what cities and states have already been, that we've already got. I know there's a spreadsheet as well, so
uh-huh.
I'll get the spreadsheet over to Bailey, and so she can give it to you. Right now,
okay,
all I have. Right now all I have is
I'm
the
back.
Map. Okay, it's okay. I was just telling her that right now all I have is that map of the state of the country. I'm sorry, that shows where we've gotten some track, where we've gotten the proclamations, what cities and counties and states. But I know there's a spreadsheet. That Tina, who's the president of One Mom's Battle.
You know, I have the links. I have the links.
Okay.
When I sent the mayor of Deerfield an email, I put in all the links. I cut and pasted all those links. So the link to the states, it's probably bigger by now, but at least it'll give Darlene an idea. And also, there's a template of a letter that you just fill in your mayor of your city.
Uh-huh.
And basically it's a template of what you can add to it if you want, or you can use it. You sign your name.
And anyone that's
and
listening,
you,
if you're from a different
yeah.
state, or if you're from, if you have a family member or a friend from another state that's maybe in a similar situation that wants to go ahead and write to their mayor or senate or whoever it is and get a proclamation, obviously contact Bailey as well to get involved.
Yeah.
And I have to move for a second.
I'm
having a fight here in my house.
Okay.
Hold on.
No problem. Thank you so much, Jessica, for being on. Unfortunately, our Anna person, friend, who's also part of this group, Florida Protective Parents and Families Against Coerced Travesties, we are two separate communities working together, trying to get help, bring light, shed light to what's going on. Families Against Court Travesties are court watchers, and they're incredible. I tag them in all my shows, Darlene, so look, check them out. You could reach out to them, tell them you're a friend of mine. How can I find out if they're court watchers in our state, in my state? Because anybody can go into a court, family court, or get onto a Zoom and watch if it's open to the public. They also are helping. So basically, the whole thing about court watchers is that court watchers will take notes. You know, they'll watch judges in family court and they will take notes, and when it comes time for re-election, they will go out to the public and say, "Hey, don't vote with that judge. We want them off the bench," and they will let those judges know, this is what we're going to do, they'll send them letters, they'll send them like questionnaires. They do this also for senators and House reps and Congress for the state legislation. And they'll send them out questionnaires, more than once, different questions. And they play a big role on who gets elected in the state when there's re-elections. And I never heard about them. I did not know about them until recently. But they've been doing this 20 years, I think, down here in Florida. And they've done a lot of amazing things. And now they're working with Florida Protective Parents, who's a group of protective parents who are fighting for change. One of them is, you know, unfortunately, a tragedy had to happen. And if you look up Justice for Grayson, Darlene and whoever else is listening, and my listeners out there, our show is also right now on blogtalkradio.com/friendstalk, Never Give Up Show. I will be uploading it to SoundCloud later and posting the link to anywhere I have the show posted. And I hope maybe by the end of this week, early next week, I will have a website up for my show, which will have all my shows on there, but it'll be linked to one place. So you won't have different places to go to. And any of the things I'm involved in, resources or whatever, will be on there from my state. But like I said, Darlene, I could send you a link to the letter, to the template. I could also send you... No problem. I can also send you a link to where, as of last week, or 2 weeks ago, what states or cities within those states have accepted the proclamation. And that's step number one. You know,
Bailey, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to say goodbye and thank you for having me come on tonight. I know it was last minute.
I appreciate you having me.
And I just wanted to let everyone know, if you wanna get, you know, help out with the movement, if you wanna donate, we're called Florida Protective Parents, and we're helping with Grayson's Law. So hopefully next year we'll have, we're working right now with such amazing people trying to make sure that the language, you know, is correct and is everything we want and more. And obviously we'll have to skim back after that, but we want to make sure everything is to the standards of what we need to make sure we're protecting our kids. So, you know, every time someone donates to Florida Protective Parents, it's going to help with our efforts.
So how how can people do that?
Yeah.
Do you guys have a link?
I don't have like a link right now because we're a brand. We actually came about right after the tragedy of Grayson Kessler. So we're not 100% set up for, but we do have a Venmo set up. So if anyone wants to donate, just have them contact you and then I can send you the link and you could just send it directly to them. So I know it's kind of like a two-step process right now, but just contact Bailey if you do want to donate.
Once
to Florida
I have my website
Parents.
Up, I'll have your information on there. I'll have Florida Protective Parents on the link to the organization and donation, you know.
Yeah,
and
just know when
website.
You're donating, all the money is basically just going to getting our, you know, putting efforts out there to make sure that people are getting exposed to what's happening. We're doing events all over the place to make sure that people understand, like, what is going on, because if you're not in it, you don't get it. If you haven't experienced domestic violence, and you don't really, you're kind of like your head's in the sand. So we just want to get exposure. We want to make sure that, you know, all the people that are in big places understand, and we can communicate them through whatever type of resources we have. The more we have, the better, obviously. So if you want to get involved, if you can't give your time and you want to give a donation, whatever it is, we really appreciate it. And again, thank you for having me, and I would love to join
you
whenever you want to have me.
Thank you.
Okay?
I appreciate it. You saved me tonight. Thank you so much.
Anytime, my love. Okay, take care, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye, Lisa.
Thank you.
Bye. So let's give out our phone number again, 516-531-9643. 516-531-9643. So I want to, you know, I still didn't get, unfortunately, answers to you know, hitting all the brick walls that I've watched in the last couple of weeks. So it's frustrating to watch a mom go through that. It's you know, like I said, the lieutenant didn't like what I had to say about you, what are you waiting for, something to happen to that child, you know? Well, that's what happens.
Right.
And if you look up Grayson's law, Justice for Grayson, Grayson was a four-year-old little boy. This was literally in my county. This happened in May. A little boy that dad came in, decided to be in the picture. I don't know exactly how old he was when he came into the picture. He did not want to be a part of this kid's life. Mom was raising him. He wanted custody. He got some custody. I'm not sure exactly whether it was 50-50 or whatever. But obviously, mom and his father were no longer together for reasons. I don't know specifics. I believe it was abuse. It was an abusive relationship, from what I'm understanding. I hope we will have Allie on our show eventually. She had gotten a phone call. It was dad's time sharing time. She got a phone call from the school. He was not in school for 2 days. She had been getting threatening messages, or actually more like terrifying messages that were, you know, were very disturbing. And she started to panic and fear for her child and for herself, and went to court to get an emergency pickup for her child. And the judge said, you don't have enough evidence. And I believe I'm saying this properly from listening to Allie share her story. They refused her a restraining order.
What state is this?
This happened here. It happened in South Florida. I think it was in Pompano or Plantation, very close to me, like within 20 to 30 minutes from where I live. This just happened in May of 2021. So I think either that night or the next day, the police went to his home, and he had shot his son and himself. And this should not have happened. This could have been prevented. That's what I was saying before. You know, I don't know if it has to start with the police, where they write a proper report, submit it urgent, you know, so you can get a restraining order, so that you can show the judge or DA's, whatever it is. You know, us as protective parents, now it could be a mom that's a protective parent, it could be a dad. You know, we happen to be a bunch of women, but there are men out there, and we know it goes both ways. And, you know, unfortunately, the people we are dealing with that are involved in our crew, or that I personally have met, are all women. So, you know, we need to be taken serious. And domestic violence is real. And we're not always out there. Most women, I would say, I'm not going to say a statistic because I haven't looked it up, but majority of women are not out there crying for no reason. There are women that are, okay? But I don't believe most women are crying and screaming for no reason. I think that this is legit, and we should be taken more seriously. And, you know, I had printed out two other laws, one that is in effect already, And this one is Caden's Law. Caden's Law is in Pennsylvania. You know about Jennifer's Law, which is in Connecticut.
Yeah, we got
coercive control. Right. So this is Caden's Law, and Caden's Law is to protect children by imposing safety conditions and restrictions on visitation, abuse, modifying the factors that a judge must consider in making a custody award to make the healthy child the primary focus, and recommending more comprehensive training of all court personnel involved cases. Caden's father and mother were in custody battle with a court order a weekend visit despite abusive and violent behavior, just like Jessica was talking about, by her father. Her mother, Kathy Sherlock, founded a non-for-profit called Caden, something happened to did not print, began to work with lawmakers to craft Caden's Law. We have been working so hard for years now to see that this for date for justice for Caden and for all the kids harm's way by family courts every single day. She says, Caden's Law could have saved my daughter in 2018. Let's hope, I think the law was put in place in 2018. Let's hope it helps other children suffering at risk right now. Our responsibility is protecting children. Our responsibility in protecting children is to take every reasonable step available to keep them from harm's way and prevent a repetition of what happened to Caden. Without this change in the law, the system would remain titled to the detriment of the interest and safety of at-risk kids. And then the law is just thanking the people that helped get it done. But unfortunately, it took a death to get a law passed. I know Kyra's Law. I reached out to her mom, and I was hoping to have her on my show. Because of November being so very busy with the proclamations, and we have to thank Tina Swinton, who you need to follow her, Darlene, One Mom's Battle. She's on Instagram and Facebook. She started all this. Okay. One Mom's Battle. She started this last year. She got California on board with November being Family Court Awareness Month. She's out there doing all kinds of YouTube videos, teaching stuff, and, you know, words not to use in court. If you notice, I might have changed certain words I used to use because they're saying don't use those words in court. You'll lose your kids automatically. We're not going to use the word... We're not going to use the word parental alienation, even though that's exactly what it is. I was told to use legal kidnapping because that's what's happening. The courts are legally kidnapping these children from the protective parents. Now, it all means the same exact thing, but when you use certain words in court, those kids are taken from you. So, you know, she has... Through the research she has done, through the people she has spoken to, she's come out there and she's really been a big source in helping us get this proclamation done in Florida. She's given this team of we started Florida Protective Parents, this California Protective Parents. I think it's called the same similar thing. But we need to get this done state by state by state. And it's literally baby steps. Nothing's happening overnight. Kyra's Law I don't believe it was passed. This is in New York State. The problem is that when you start, Jennifer's Law happened the way it was formed, as coercive control is domestic violence and all the things related underneath it, because Senator Casser, I think her name was, she obviously was named after two moms, protective moms that were murdered by their abusers. She is going through this herself, and she's was a senator in Connecticut, and she fought to get this done because she was dealing with it herself, and that's how she was able to get coercive control, Jennifer's law, passed in Connecticut. A lot of states are not falling for it because it's geared towards women. So a lot of our states, our legislations are made up of men, and they're not going to fall for it. So they're having to twist it so that we're protecting the children. Now, when all said and done, when you look at the laws, if you protect the mom, you're protecting the children. If the mom is the protective parent and the one that is being abused. So however you want to call it, however you want to word it, it's all about protecting our children. Because if a mom is abused and there are children in the home, the children are abused. We talk about this all the time. So it's a very similar kind of law that they've been trying to work on, Kyra's law, Child Safety First. I know that there's been issues with trying to get it passed, because originally the wording was not done properly. And again, in the end, it's all about protecting our children. If an abused parent, whether it's a man or a woman, is not being protected, the children are not being protected. And we're really all about protecting our children because, like you said before, your 40-year-old son is still dealing with his childhood trauma at 40 years old. And, you know, the cycle doesn't end. I mean, when we look at the men we were married to, they weren't born that way. They had childhood trauma that never was dealt with. So it's a vicious cycle. And, you know,
Like with my ex-husband, his daddy had heart trouble, so he was born basically later, and his daddy didn't get to do things with him. So he thought that since his daddy didn't get to do things with him because of his heart condition, he thought, well, I shouldn't spend time with my kids, or I shouldn't hold a boy, you know. They aren't supposed to hold boy babies. It's kind of strange the way that guy's thinking was, you know. But, you know, I was thinking, seeing that even though he was the abuser, the court system gave him the kids. He had more money and all that kind of weight type of thing, and that overread everything, you know.
I hear you.
And if I would have had more money coming in, other than, you know, the SSI that I was drawing, and I would have been having to pay child support on top of that, the judge said.
Right.
That insults the injury. And he's the one that had all the money. You know, so it's like...
yep. You know, it's such a broken situation, and you know, it has to end. We can't continue losing children or losing women to, you know, we have the Gabby Petito case. You know, where it was, you know, rewatching videos, you know, it was so obvious that something was not right, and it just went over their heads.
Did not, they did not communicate well, you know, because these, the people that took the call, the 911 call, I'm wondering if they even relayed the message that, you know, they were reported, you know, hitting, that he was hitting her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
you know,
we've got some kind of communication issues that ain't funny.
It's so important for our authority to have training on domestic violence, on mental health, to be able to see through the look, you know, the fear of an abused person, to the body language of an abuser. All these things, there's no way anybody, if you're not involved in it, will see it unless you're trained, you know. And, you know, there are people crying out for help, you know, and they just keep waiting for more and more deaths so they can make laws in their names. And to me, this is mind-boggling. It's so disgraceful. It's so discerning. I mean, it's you know, watching this woman, watching the whole scenario. Even if I had never been in her situation, okay? Even if I had, you know, I would have picked up on all of it, on the charade, on the you know, the bullying, you know. He managed to threaten a counselor, I will get your license. So when a lieutenant calls me and tells me, we've been to that home many times and blah, 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 and we're familiar with this case, and they don't think the dad is doing anything wrong, the child just does not want to go with the mother. Are you looking at the whole entire picture?
Yeah, because the kid might really want to go, but the kid's afraid.
Well, why aren't they looking at the entire picture and saying, and they should have a checklist, you know, here we have a DCF report that says this. We've never had a complaint when the child's been with the mother. The child's not in school. She's not socialized. She does not look well. Dad's standing over her every time she makes a statement. I mean, you look at all these little teeny things, and, you know, like in Jessica's situation, she was saying her kids have said things, and the police are just totally letting it fly. You know, if a man is abusive to a woman, he's going to, if he's abusive to a woman when the kids are not there, do you really think he's not abusive to the kids when he is there, when they are there? Okay, let me bring on, I think they're raising their hand. I've never seen this before. Hold on a minute.
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Hi.
Somebody raised their hand. Hi. Welcome to another great show.
Hi. Thank you. I wanted to make a comment on what you were just talking about. The reason why are they looking are similar to the reasons of the recent case that we saw on the news about Gabby Petito, right? They saw all the signs. They had a call that day from a person who watched her boyfriend beat her or abuse her, and they knew that at the time that they stopped them. And they didn't see the signs, right? They didn't see her crying, her being coherent. They didn't see him being charming. They didn't see that
she was crying. They saw her crying.
They didn't see any of those signs that she was being coercively controlled, that she was being abused. And you know, if the listeners are familiar with that story, it led to a tragedy, right, to her dying before they admitted that there was something wrong there. They probably, as human beings, see the, you know, subtle signs that something is wrong, but they are not trained, nor they have the loss of support at them intervening before there is, you know, an immediate or screaming danger in front of them. So in the case of that child that you're just talking about, they probably see the signs. They probably have their senses that there is something there that is not adding up. But until they have overwhelming evidence, until they have...
You're talking about
the
Lisa's child. You're talking about Lisa's child.
Yeah, I'm talking about Lisa's child. Until they see that little girl screaming or doing something that is, you know, giving them the cue that they can intervene, they won't, right? And it, there is a number of reasons for that, including laws, including what happens to them if they make a mistake, including them being people that probably can sympathize more with that or have more in common. There is, you know, psychological bias that is going to play into that for them to you believe that. They always believe the abusers 99% of the time, giving statistics, they do. And 82% of the time, when fathers that are abusive ask for custody, they get it. It is a staggering number. It's a huge number. And only 1%, 1.6% of the time when mothers claim abuse, they are lying. But if the mothers that are not the other, you know, 98.8% of the time that are not lying, always get looked at by the ones that are lying. So that's kind of humanity, right? They always judge people for the one thing they did wrong or the one time that, you know, it didn't go as expected, more than the time that actually something that is truthful happened. But in this, the case of this little child, and I have seen situations like that, and even, I don't want to share much, but even in my situation, the other way around, it took some time, even a number of years, and it took a lot of convincing and a lot of showing them evidence and coming back to the sergeant and dismissing line by line what the father was saying in order for them to believe and for the roles to flip, right, to the point that they emitted noting other on him instead of on me for what he was doing. But it took a lot of time. Initially, I was the one being harassed. I was the one being threatened. I was the one being told that I was going to be taken to jail. They threatened my family. They threatened everyone, the police in my county, saying that if I didn't do what they were saying or if I didn't do what they were saying, in my case, it was I had to give my children up to the abuser, right? Like the other person mentioned a few, maybe half an hour ago, she said, you know, I'm in a different situation because I have my child to the abuser. So in my case, it was a flipped role, but I wasn't doing what he was saying I was doing. I wasn't keeping my children. I was following what I was supposed to follow. And I was, you know, even as a mom, not wanting to do that, I was still doing it. But he wanted the chaos. He wanted the police involved. He wanted to find a way to get me in trouble. And they believed him. They came here many times. They threatened my family. They threatened anyone who would open the door. They, you know, went after us. They went tried to put a warrant in for my name when I was there waiting for him at the exchange spot. They did everything they could until I was able to find the lieutenant and find the sergeant who would listen. And now, finally, after months of this happening, they had enough. And I painted line by line all the evidence and where the story didn't match up, right? All those little things that, you know, the child is saying and all these little things. And, you know, little like you're going to a court case and you're going to present that your judge went to the police station to talk to the sergeant and presented all of those little things matching together. Where did he contradict himself? Where did the child see this? And, where, you know, each of the little things. And that's when they started listening. That's when they flipped roles. And that's when they put the no trespassing order on him to prevent him from doing what he was doing. And in the case of this child, it might be, you know, it might take more time. And and you don't have the time because this child is being emotionally abused. And it's obviously that he's doing something to this child that we don't know exactly what it is, but he's definitely keeping her afraid and keeping, you know, she is on the fight or flight mode. So the time that she, the more time she spends there, the less ability to get out of it, the more freedom. If us as adults are able to be manipulated by people like that, can you imagine a little child? She's probably terrified. She's scared. She's in survival mode. She's probably doing everything she can do not to be in a worse situation or not to create more chaos for herself. So, you know, I can only imagine and empathize with that child, but the longer she stays in that prison that he's creating, the more difficult will be to bring her back. So we don't really have the time to wait for the cops or for the courts to see it, right? If it has been four months already by the she has a court hearing, it might get to a point where the emotional abuse by proxy that he is doing with her are going to create permanent
damage.
We
hope it's just emotional abuse. I mean,
we hope.
I hope it's not. It's not more. You know, as far as your situation, you are really lucky because it's very uncommon. And I happen to have had a similar situation. I had a court advocate.
I wouldn't call myself lucky because it took a lot of time. And my ex is also a sexual
abuser.
So the police know
but
him
you
for
are
years.
But you have to be thankful and grateful that in the end you found one sergeant who took you seriously. Because
a sexual abuser. So it's one piece of the puzzle, but at least stop the police calls.
In my situation, it took 2.5 years, of the police coming to my home where I had proof. They just did not investigate. So I had the proof of what was being done, and this is post-separation abuse that I went through, my children were there.
It took 4 years. Just so you know, it wasn't a short. I tried to summarize it, but it took 4 years.
Right.
So
right.
My kids
were not babies, so they witnessed. I'm dealing with the adverse childhood effects and trauma with my children as young men, and you know, my one teenager, and thankfully therapy is helping a lot right now, but you know. It took me a fighting like crazy and having a little bit of connections in the DA's office and going to the chief of PBSO, the chief Bradshaw, I think he was. I sent him emails and I sent him attached stories. And I said, this could have been me. And finally, he said, make sure you get a case done with this woman. Now, I had cases. I made a lot of mistakes. I could have had him arrested many times, and I didn't because we're scared. We're in shock. We go through all these emotions. It's my children's father. How can I do this to him? You know, we're stuck in that whole thing. But once I started to get healthy and started to really fight, you know, I was a joke to them. And I remember just having one incident report added to the next, till built up. And I was very lucky because one sergeant who I dealt with a couple of times, he gave me a police woman, an advocate that worked for the police department. Now, this is not common. This is in PBSO, okay? They don't have many of them because it's too much. They have victim advocates from the ADA's office, but from the police department, she actually worked for the police department, and she was an advocate for people like me, and he put her in charge. And I remember sitting in a room on the floor with my millions of pages of police reports and telling the sergeant, I want these reports rewritten. I don't care that you're finally going to get him arrested or blah, blah, blah. I was made to look like the crazy person. So the proper wording needs to be redone because that didn't happen. What I wrote in the report, because those days you actually sat down and wrote a report, and maybe you could relate to that. You know, you got a copy of it. What I wrote in that report was not what was transferred into their reports. They didn't match up, and it didn't match up with the proof that I had that was written in my report. So, you know, yes, we fight like cats and dogs until we get, you know, some of us have it in us to fight like crazy. Unfortunately, I've heard of many women just can't do it anymore. They give up. Many commit suicide. You know, it's horrible to see this. But in our friend Lisa's case, watching the show and the watching the police, you know, befriend him, be buddies, you know, defend him, defend themselves, you know, it's horrific. And like I said, that's when I said tonight, I was reaching out to make sure her latest report was amended. And I spoke to a lieutenant, and he's like, well, we've been to that house so many times and blah, 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 and they have to go to deal with this in court and blah, blah, blah. I said, what are you guys waiting to happen? You're waiting for a statistic. He did not like that. So, yes, training with our at the bottom, with the police, with DCF, with you know, mental health, so that they can see that there's mental issues, health issues with one of the parents. Domestic violence, see the signs, see the warnings. Why this is not happening, I don't get it.
One thing that bothers me about the domestic abuse, whenever like a police officer comes in the state of Alabama where I was living, if a police officer came, they have to arrest both of them. And
so
it's kind of bad
if that.
They arrest the woman too when she's got the injuries, and we'll both be in jail, and then the man can bond out, and you ain't got no money to bond out because he ain't going to bond you out.
It's,
you know what I mean?
It's a very horrible system. And I always say, before we even get to family court, there's so much work that has to be done in the lower levels. Like I was saying before, and I don't know if our other caller heard this, but I was saying how in order to get a restraining order, okay, you have to have a good, tight, solid police report. And they have to believe you. They have to put your proof in there, your statements in there. That's how I got mine, my permanent one. Because finally, somebody listened. Finally. Yep. Now, does a restraining order really mean anything at this point? Unfortunately not. But, you know, at least it's something I have. And Jessica was saying earlier how, you know, not all counties to counties. It's good for all of the state of Florida. It's also good for all of the United States. Obviously, they don't see it in their system in other states. But if they pull up all his information, if there's a warrant in another state, it's very possible they could see it. So it is, when I leave the state of Florida, I take mine with me. I have a copy in my car. Not that he's here, but I have a copy in my car. But, you know, it's unfortunate that if we can't get that restraining order, and it's very hard to get one nowadays unless you have a clad-tight, properly written police report. And that means the police has to believe you. And that means they need the proper training or empathy or understanding, or they need to see the signs. They need to look at your proof. They need to investigate. And these things are just not happening. And with this Lisa situation, you know, I was a witness. I didn't even get a chance to share what I had to say. Well, I did share, but the report was one-sided, and it was all lies, because there was no screaming and yelling, no banging on windows and doors by all kinds of different people. There was just the distraught mom trying to get her child, and I have pictures of that. And the rest is on the camera that the cop wears. But, you know, you watch the picture that I have, and you see a dad hovering over his little girl who looks sickly, and the cop asking her questions, which is very traumatic to begin with. And you're saying that's less traumatic. Dad calling the cop is less traumatic than mom coming with a friend. I mean, seriously, she doesn't want to come because mom had a friend she didn't know. I mean, like you were saying before.
That's because daddy gets sour, you know.
You were saying before, all these little things, all these old little pieces, if you look at them from the outside and you put them together like a puzzle, the story doesn't add up.
Right.
And
How old is her kid right now?
She's 11. She's 11.
Oh,
I posted
boy.
Pictures on Facebook. We just did a little rally. Please, on the link to the show, there's a change.org. Darlene, please sign it and share it. Okay?
Okay.
It's a petition for this mom.
Okay.
Please, everybody, it takes 2 minutes, not even. Sign the petition, share it to a friend through Messenger, Facebook Messenger, or a text. You can give a donation to help her. She has no money. She's paying child support. She's a disabled veteran who served our country, and we're failing her. Just like all the other veterans that are being failed. It's such a crazy system.
Yes.
I would like to thank Jessica for taking over tonight as a guest, as my co-host/guest. Unfortunately, my original guest had a car accident today. It wasn't meant to be for her to be on the show. She is okay, thank God. Anonymous caller for calling in. I appreciate your perspective, and you are giving people out there hope. Don't give up. Never give up, which is the name of my show. Keep fighting, because at a point in my life, I didn't see hope, and I didn't see this ever ending. And there is pieces where I could say, yes, I'm still being harassed and all that. And yes, I'm dealing with adverse child experience and trauma through my kids. But I do see light. I pray for light. I pray for happiness and peace. And our anonymous guest on, anonymous caller, she is at a better point than she was a few years ago. And I pray that forward you keep up that fight, and you only see better things to happen. And hopefully, through Grayson's death, comes good, you know, which is why I started advocating and getting into this, because I had to take my, and I'm not going to compare it to a child's death, God forbid, but I had to make sense of what happened to me. And I realized with a lot of therapy that this all happened to me for a reason. And that reason was for me to go out there and help others. And I hope at some point Allie, you know, I know she's in a turmoil and her emotions are all over the place. And I cannot put myself in her shoes whatsoever. I can't even imagine. And every day I pray for her and for Kyra's mom and for Caden's mom and all the over 700 children in the U.S. that have been murdered, and to the women of domestic violence that are alive, the ones that were murdered, and to their children, to their families. We have to band together and come up with solutions and fight for changes, because if we don't do it, we the public, the voters, no one is going to do it. So I want to thank you guys for calling in and being part of my show tonight and helping me get through it, because I could have talked for 2 hours, but I would have been trashing everybody. So it's good that we shed a little bit light on this. I'm glad that Lisa has people out there besides myself that want to support her. She's such a strong person. She's amazing. You know, I've only got reconnected with her in such a short time, and I love her, I care about her. I feel her pain, and I will be out there fighting right alongside her. And again, thank you guys. God bless. I have to end the show now. We're past our time. Thank you, Joe Koch, for giving me this Blog Talk Radio time, and for Charlie for helping me set this up on my own. To my listeners out there again, this show will be uploaded to SoundCloud. I will have a website put out shortly in the next week, I hope, sooner rather than later. It's on me. And then the show will be linked after the show is over. It'll be linked to one place on my website, and there'll be resources on there. Darlene, I did not forget. I will send you a couple of those few things you asked me for. Again, please, guys, never give up. There is hope. Whoever you believe in, higher power or whatever, keep on believing, because I can look back 6 years to where I am now, and I could have given up. And it's so easy. But we're fighters, and we love our children, and we want to see them happy and healthy and productive, and we keep going.
With a little perseverance, you can get things done. Battle blind adherence that has conquered some. And nobody wants to know you're not. And nobody wants to show you how. You can see light, 'cause no one can see.